All right, finally back in Building 26, the land of windows.
How are you? Who are you?
I am Vince Horry, and I'm doing great today.
Good.
And I wanted to chat some about Vista and reliability telemetry and the work we've done on Vista over the last year or two, and why I'm still pretty excited and pumped about the state of PCs and their promise.
Excellent.
I'll give you a little background. I've been doing this a long time. I worked at Digital Equipment Corporation for 17 years, building systems that had to work. I've been at Microsoft almost 15 years, most of it here in the NT group, the Windows group, trying to make things that really worked. And for the last 4 or 5 years, I've been working on the reliability telemetry system. What the experience that I get with my computers at home is really fantastic. My computers work. They work the way they're supposed to work. They do what they're supposed to do. They keep my stuff organized. They process my photos. They print my stuff. My networks work. My stuff works at home. Unfortunately, most users don't get a computer experience like that. And what I want to do is get way more customers having an experience that's close to the one that I get when I use my machines.
Interesting.
Okay. Over the years, we've done a bunch of things to try to make Windows more reliable, more satisfying to use, to make our customers more successful using the product. 6 or 7 years ago, we started out by collecting application crashes and system crashes, the so-called Watson and Online Crash Analysis, or OCA systems, and we've been trying to study those crash reports. It turns out that every time we do a release of Windows, we find yet another class of crash where we can't really figure it out from the information we have in this crash dump. We have to add something into the next release so that we collect this or that and so on. And in Vista, we made the usual set of improvements to the crashes, and there's now more of the crashes that we can understand than ever. The other thing that was new in Vista that was pretty exciting was a component called the Reliability Analysis Component. It's a piece of software that sits inside the machine and collects reliability-related statistics so we can show them to the user in the reliability monitor. Now, that's nice that the user can see all that stuff, but we really need to see some of this back at Microsoft. So we created a customer experience improvement program. It's an opt-in program. And for customers who opt into it, their machines have a chance to, instead of just collecting that reliability information and using it locally, to send it to Microsoft so we can see how their machine is doing too.
Okay.
The thing that's cool is we now have about 400,000 machines around the world sending us this telemetry. We can see when they boot. We can see when they shut down. I mean, they send it to us like weekly, but they'll send a roll-up of here's what's happened on my machine over the last week. And we can use this to find out what the failure patterns are. One of the things we haven't understood in the past, because all the error data we get is anonymous, we can't tell is this machine in trouble or not. All we see is a single crash report. We don't know the machine's history. We don't know what the patterns are. We don't know which failures are correlated with other failures. But now with this rack data, we can see all of this.
Excellent.
Now, the thing that's I think is sort of cool, we have a team here that analyzes all this telemetry to try to figure out what we're doing. And the top-line results we've been getting are pretty good. Between when Vista shipped and we measured the initial Vista machines with this rack telemetry and the latest SP1 machines we've measured, we've seen OS crash rates drop by 48%. We've seen application crash rates drop by 40%.
Nice.
So these are nice improvements. Now, and these are not, this is not crashes just from the Microsoft bits in the box. This is crashes from any reason. So all of the applications used around the world, all the hardware products used around the world, the customers are getting a more reliable experience today because we've got this telemetry and the ability to work with our partners to use that telemetry to maximize the fixes that we can get into the ecosystem.
Absolutely. So let's just talk a little bit about, you know, why did you get into this mess? You mentioned you worked for Dell or DEC.
DEC,
I didn't mean to say Dell. What makes you excited about reliability and performance? performance?
Well, I like things that work.
Okay.
It was interesting. When I worked at DEC made the hardware, they made the software, they made the compilers, they made all the devices, they made all the drivers. And it was very clear if DEC shipped a product and the customer wasn't getting a good experience with it, we knew whose fault it was. It was DEC's fault. Mm-hmm. Okay? And DEC had to go fix it, whether it was hardware or software or whatever else. And so that was part of the culture there, was build things that really work. Well, the PC model is really pretty different. Hardware comes from one place, devices come from somewhere else, device drivers and software can come from lots and lots and lots of different companies. Mm-hmm. And when the whole thing gets put together and it doesn't work, well, whose fault is that? I'm interested in this because mm-hmm. I don't really care whose fault it is. I just want the thing to work.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And this is the perfect place for somebody like me. I get to see what's causing problems any place in the world. We do see all sorts of weird stuff. You know, we'll see crashes that all of a sudden something bad is happening in Korea. Well, we'll go find out what's causing the crashes there. And mm-hmm. perhaps it's a local component. Perhaps it's an outbreak of malware that, for whatever reason, started there.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see those trends and be able to go off and work with our partners to collect the additional data that we need to get to the bottom of the problem and get the most important issues fixed.
Okay. So you mentioned the PC model. I mean, it's interesting. I don't think we get enough credit, not to market us, but I mean, if you look at Apple, and they have a pretty solid offering in the operating system space, but they also own the hardware and the drivers.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about our model, which is really kind of like it's wide open.
It is much broader. Most people would be surprised to learn that in the core part of their operating system on a Windows machine, the so-called drivers that they have loaded on, the average machine has about 120 drivers loaded. And I'll bet if you look to see the companies those come from, that's probably 30 or 40 different companies on the average laptop. You've got a camera company, you've got a wireless networking company, maybe a wired network connection, you've got a disk storage controller, you've got a display driver, you've got mouse and input and touchpad and keyboards and all sorts of things that are connected to your machine. And all of that code, those drivers, have to work in a fully trusted, secure, not generating a compromise to the security of your overall machine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of stuff that has to work right. Now, the good part is, because you've got so many people competing to do this, you get some pretty good prices and you get some pretty good feature development rate. So the customers are getting a good deal out of this. But there are challenges in trying to keep all that much stuff working the way it's supposed to work all the time.
Cool. So you're talking to developers, the Channel 9 audience, the technical people. Let's talk a little bit about the VISA telemetry system. And let's maybe map out, say, a crash happens, then what?
Right. So let's say it's an application crash that happens. You're using your app crashes. Normally, for most consumer systems, they're going to see a small pop-up that says, hey, we saw that this application just crashed. Do you want to report the problem to Microsoft?
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to really strongly encourage people to send us those error reports. We think from our telemetry about 40% of people actually do. But the way to think about that is there's a small group of people in Vince's team in Redmond that are trying to decide what to look at. And I can look at your problem, or I can look at somebody else's problem. And every time you send me an error report, that's a vote to look at your problem. So if you want your problems fixed, send us the error report.
Excellent.
So you say, yes, you want to send an error report. We send an error report from the machine. Most of the time, all of the time, we don't knowingly collect any private information in our error reports.
Mm-hmm.
They occasionally can contain some, depending on where the crash exactly happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we collect the crash report from the machine. Sometimes the crashes are processed. We sometimes need additional information to diagnose certain problems, and we have a little bit of protocol in the error handling things between the client and the consumer's machine and the servers here at Microsoft. We can ask for extra information. We collect the information that we think we need to solve it, and we keep track of, okay, what is this problem? Mm-hmm. On the back end in the server, we've got a bunch of big databases that keep track of all of this, and we regularly generate reports of, okay, here's the top application crashes, mm-hmm. here's the top OS crashes, here's the top application hang reports. And then we have people that are assigned to go off and investigate the top unresolved issues. Whenever we resolve an issue and we find out what's causing it and we have a fix, we can generate an automatic response. So, for example, when you go report that app crash next time, you might get a response back from us that says, hey, we know what app that was. It was this app from this company, and they have a fix, and it's here on their website. Mm-hmm. And we can generate those responses automatically to help customers find the stuff they need to get their machines running as well as they can.
Absolutely. I mean, that's great. That's happened to me before on my laptop. And it was nice to be able to click on a link, install the driver, restart the system.
Right.
And I didn't have that problem again.
Right. So that's...
that's great. That's good
that's
stuff.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
Now, I mean, but I would ask, what is the composition of a telemetry report? I mean, you're going to have different types of telemetry, right?
Right.
You're
going
to have reports
right.
from the core operating system.
Right.
And then
right.
user modes.
Right. So, for example, if we take system crashes, they're sort of typical. typical, unfortunately typical. Mm-hmm. We write out what's called a kernel crash dump at the time your machine actually has a crash. Once we reboot, that kernel crash dump is actually the contents of kernel address space in the operating system. So it can be hundreds of megabytes worth of information, mm-hmm. Typically. We then carve out a very tiny report called a mini dump from that, mm-hmm. which is usually something in the neighborhood of 60 to 100 kilobytes. And that's actually the initial error report that we send up to Microsoft. That information is enough for us to be able to process that little mini dump crash in real time. We do that usually in 2 or 3 seconds. Mm. And we have software that then identifies what we call the probable cause for this crash. And if it's an issue that we already know about, we can immediately send you the response. Hey, here's what to go do about it. If it's one that we don't know what it is, we certainly add the counters to say, okay, great, fine, we saw another one of these. Mm-hmm. Or it's something we've seen for the first time. If it's a high volume problem and we want more dump information, the little mini dump only tells us so much, mm-hmm. we actually can mark that probable cause and say, we need a kernel crash dump for this. And then the much we ask the customer's permission, of course, can we send this additional information? The customer can see what's being sent. Mm-hmm. Then they send in the additional information, and now we have all the contents of kernel memory space to go look at in our crash dump to try to figure out what's going on. Because of the scale of Windows, we think we have about 600 to 800 million machines worldwide mm-hmm. that are capable of participating in this. A developer can look at a problem in the morning and say, wow, I really need some more information on this. They can say, go mark this in our servers to go collect this additional stuff. It's not unusual for us to have had some system somewhere in the world that sends that up in the next hour or two. Mm-hmm. Because we tend to look at the higher volume issues.
Sure.
And somebody somewhere in the world is going to see that same thing and we'll be able to get the additional information we need to go off and get to the bottom of a lot of these issues.
Excellent. So, how is Vista doing? How the hell is Vista doing? That's the name of this little series.
Right. I think Vista is doing pretty well. Now, I'm obviously pretty biased. I ran Vista during the betas at home. I've got 3 boys. Mm-hmm. They all play games. Mm-hmm. Their games work. Mm-hmm. We found and fixed all those bugs during the beta before Vista even came out. Uh-huh. So Vista works really well for the stuff that I use it for. Mm-hmm. I think on customer machines overall, like I said, we've seen a pretty big improvement recently. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, you know, a big drop in OS crash rates and app crash rates, and it's not like we're finished. I mean, we're continuing to look at the telemetry. We're continuing to find things that we can fix, that our partners can fix, hardware things that the OEMs can fix. And as we find these things, the ecosystem gets better.
Excellent.
So,
now, are you still getting crash dumps, crash reports from Windows 2000?
It turned out Windows 2000 didn't generate OS crash reports. XP was the first OS to generate OS crash reports. XP generated app crash reports as well. Office, you could install versions of Office that sent up app crash reports on Windows 2000, but that's sort of the oldest thing we have.
Sure.
We don't tend to look too much at that anymore, to be honest. We're looking at sort of more recent problems. So.
And you have SP2 still being used out in the wild.
We have XP SP2 and XP SP3, and we do get telemetry from those, but we get OCA, system crash and app crash reports, but we don't get the new Vista rack telemetry stuff from those machines. So
excellent. Well, I mean, Vista is evolutionary, and so you'd expect it to have a better telemetry system than its predecessor.
Sure.
We can't talk about what's coming in the next iteration because I think we'll both get evaporated.
Right, but we are always improving things, and suffice it to say, there's improvements coming in the telemetry system too.
So, what are some of the hardest things that you've had to track down? Like, what are some really wildly interesting crashes that really got your brain sore?
Good examples? We do see things every day that we don't understand. Mm. And that's probably the most frustrating. Oftentimes, they come and they go before we figure them out. We've seen crashes, for example, that will hit in a particular geography, and they'll be really bad for 3 or 4 days, and then they'll just go away. Mm. And I don't know whether that's malware, whether that's somebody released something in an antivirus signature that caused a particular type of crash, but then recognized it, withdrew it, and put the right thing out there. And because of the way their most antivirus products update their machines that they control every day, things can come and go pretty quickly in the security world. It's not just antivirus, it's anti-spyware, anti-malware software. Mm-hmm. So we've seen some sudden spikes that go away before we have a chance to really figure out what's going on. Clearly that's going to be a frustration for some user. I guess it's nice that they go away sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
We see some crashes that are corruption crashes, where when we get the crash dump, certain parts of the data structures are corrupted, and it's not clear at all when the corruption happened.
Mm.
Those are probably the most frustrating to work on because you can't directly debug them from a crash dump. We have to use other tools and techniques to try to get to the bottom of those. We do have some of these tools, the so-called verifiers, that basically turn on extra integrity checking inside the operating system. And in Vista, we now can turn those on in response to error reports. Mm-hmm. So if we see that we're getting a lot of corruption crashes of a particular type, we can turn on some of this optional, that is, we tell the customer, hey, we'd like to turn this on to try to understand what's going on. And those verifiers then can sometimes catch the corruptions and help us get the right fixes in place.
So, I mean, it's opt-in, which is great.
Yes.
But even if you do send up some personal information, Microsoft, by law, can do nothing with it.
Right.
And so that has to be clear.
We're pretty careful about the privacy of all the stuff. Before any developer at Microsoft can even see a customer crash report, they have to read a statement from our lawyers that says here's exactly what you're allowed to do and what you can't do with the data that you're about to see. And they've got to register their signature before they even get access to the crash dumps.
Mm-hmm.
So the dumps are all saved in a pretty secure location, and we automatically delete everything that we get after 180 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like there's archives that are building up over time or anything else. It's the data comes in, we know it potentially could have personal information in it. It's actually really very rare, though, to see that. I look at a lot of crash dumps, and I can only remember once in the last 4 years when I saw something that was personally identifying. It was in this particular case, it was a system crash, but it crashed running the browser while the user was doing an order, an online order. And so they had just typed in their name and address and zip code and email address, and that was visible in the crash once in the last 4 years of looking at them. Otherwise, it's all dumpers.
Sure. Interesting. One of the things, so we think about crash dumps come in, say it's an application crash dump. If that application happens to be a Microsoft application, I'm assuming what you would do is either file a bug, and not to rag on Office, I like Office, file a bug in Office's database, say, hey, you guys hung again, you guys crashed again.
Right.
Not that they do that very much. Or IE, you guys crashed again.
Right.
What's going on? Here's the problem.
Right. So the answer is yes, we absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. We've got some pretty sophisticated software that does that. For crashes that happen in any part of Windows, IE, Explorer, other Windows apps, we actually have automatic software where we can specify thresholds that automatically open bugs for us. Nice. So we can say, okay, anything that we've seen more than 20 times of this, please automatically open a bug. And our software knows who owns every component, who the bug should be assigned to. We fill in the bug with pointers to the crash dumps a completely sort of automated system. We love using this during betas. And we filed and fixed thousands of bugs during the Vista beta using this software.
Excellent.
So it's really pretty efficient. There are a couple of other groups inside the company that use the same stuff. The Office guys, we don't have to send the reports to Office. The Office guys go out and look for them themselves.
Okay.
They've got their own auto bug filers that take the data out of the database and open the requisite bugs. They're very good at chasing
Absolutely.
Down their stuff.
No, really. The Office is they're right up there with Windows and engineering talent.
Well, they were the ones that invented the app crash reports. So I think those guys got to get a lot of credit.
Absolutely. Just got to work on that multi-threading a little bit. That's a hard problem that the whole industry faces.
Absolutely.
The other thing I'd like to talk about is not just telemetry data and making applications better over time, but let's talk about telemetry data and the evolution of Windows.
Sure.
So how do you use that when you go and you want to have a meeting with Sanofsky or whoever you meet with, or the core Arc guys?
Right.
You know, hey, look, here's what we're seeing. Here's what we need to do in Windows 10.
Right.
Right.
The answer is that, sure, there are things that we learn looking at the telemetry that we get that's very helpful in designing future operating systems. Mm-hmm. Just some real simple examples. We have 400,000 machines sending us telemetry. We know how fast all those machines are. We know how many of them are dual processor, how many of them are quad core, and so on. We know how much memory they have. Mm-hmm. We don't collect so much about how much disk space they have, but basic hardware trends, display memory, we know what those demographics are in pretty good detail just from the reporting telemetry that we get. And so that helps us identify the sweet spot for the various operating system versions and understand how fast new technology makes it into the ecosystem.
Excellent.
Other things that we do, we certainly learn about design points, design places that are fragile. For example, there's a lot of Microsoft code that's written that's designed to be extensible by third parties for various things. We provide some basic features, but we allow people to have plugins or add-ons or helper objects or what else that extends the Microsoft code. Sometimes we don't design those things as cleanly as we could. When we do, we then get crashes in those things, and we can't tell, oh, is it our fault, or is it the partner code that was plugged in? And so we provide some feedback and input on ways to design extensibility mechanisms so that if there's a failure, we can more cleanly figure out on which side of the boundary the fault lies.
Absolutely. Like, you of course know, with your pattern analysis, that I'm assuming this is interesting because I would imagine that research, Microsoft research, must be involved to some degree with some of your static analysis tools, with some of your reasoning methodologies.
Sure.
What's that partnership like?
That's actually really cool. We have a number of researchers that have been interested in different aspects of the data. Some of the research that's been done looks at trying to determine the relationships between our development practices and where the failures are found after we ship our software. So there's one researcher in Cambridge who's done pretty extensive research that shows that code churn is directly correlated to where we find failures after we ship. And he's done it by combining data from our source control system with failure data that we get from Watson and OCA. There's been other Microsoft research that's very interested in hardware failures. Some hardware failures are very obvious. It's very clear that the hardware failed. The disk stopped responding. Okay, well, the OS can't keep running without a disk. We crash. Other times, the failures are very subtle. We had an alpha particle that changed a few bits in memory, and maybe several hours later we used that memory to allocate some other memory that didn't quite get done correctly, and 3 days after that we have a crash in an app or a corruption, a silent corruption on some disk. Those kinds of errors are pretty tough to understand, and we've got a researcher who currently is trying to look at the patterns of failures from machines that are known to have some hardware issues versus the patterns on all the remaining machines. So, for example, he's created a population of machines where we know the disk has reported hardware errors. Now let's go look to see the other failures that are happening on that population of machines and how that population of failures differs from the population of machines where there's never been a reported disk hardware error.
Interesting.
A lot of clever guys in research, and we have a lot of interesting data that can be mined for a variety of uses.
Excellent. So now your team, you have, it's a pretty small team?
It's about a dozen people.
Wow.
Looking at system crashes, looking at app crashes, and looking at app hangs. We're busy.
Sure. Now, do you guys work at all? I remember when Jim Alchin was still around, one of the big ideas for Windows was no hang. Right. No hang. Didn't happen. So apps still hang, partly because of the architecture of Windows, right? I mean, you have one UI thread, right? Single threaded apartment. An architectural interesting thing. Let's talk about that. Well, and I'm sorry that I said let's talk about that, Niners. They don't like it when I do that. I'm trying to stop doing that. Clearly we're talking. Sorry.
Right. No problem. So application hangs are pretty interesting. We made a lot of improvements in Vista to understand hangs better. One of the problems, we had hang reporting in XP. Unfortunately, very frequently, we would get a hang report, and here's the app that was hung, and the app was hung waiting on an RPC connection to another app, and everything in the app that's hung looked good. Well, okay, great, fine. Well, we're not going to figure out what's going on here. We need to see what's on the other side of that RPC connection. So in Vista, we added some pretty sophisticated thread chasing logic in the kernel. When an app is hung, we now can go look to see, is it hung on something that's also on this same machine? If it is, go chase the thread down and follow it, and go give me a snapshot dump of whatever else its partner is. If it's hung, an app is hung, for example, talking to the print spooler. Well, let's get a snapshot of the print spooler, too. If an app is hung doing an I/O operation into the kernel, let's go get a kernel mini dump in the context of this app to go see what the driver's doing. Why is the driver hung? Okay. So we've been able to diagnose a lot more hangs in Vista than we could previously. And we think we've made a significant reduction in application hangs as a result of this. We don't really have data from XP that we can tell how it's doing, but we think we've made some big improvements here.
But, you know, how does Vince Orgovan define a hang? Why do you know it's really a hung state?
Right. So the answer is we rely on two things to do the hang. The first is, we believe that most customers, the UI research that Microsoft has done says customers need to get feedback that something is happening usually within 5 seconds. So we have a timer built into the Windows message loop that says, here's the app processing message input events. The message loop is where a key press event or a mouse click would be processed. And if an application isn't processing its message loop for 5 seconds, we think the app is being unresponsive and it's a candidate for being hung. We remember, oops, this app hasn't done its message loop in 5 seconds. If the user then attempts more interaction with the window, like they click on the window, we will then ghost it. We call it, we frost the window. So now the user has a visual indicator that Windows knows this app is not responding to things. If the app recovers on its own, we unghost the window and the thing resumes. We then let the user decide what a real hang is. If the window is ghosted and the user gets fed up with it and either clicks the red X saying, go away.
Which typically won't work.
Well, no, the red X will work.
Will it?
The red X will work because that's actually going to a different part of Windows. It doesn't go directly to the application.
Interesting. I mean, why doesn't the red X just call, you know, kill, and then the PID?
Well, it effectively does with the option that we let the user report the hang to Microsoft.
Okay.
So it's the user who really decides what a hang is, not so much Windows. The only thing is Windows knows that the app has to be sort of not processing message events for 5 seconds in order to be eligible to be declared a hang.
Okay. And so in the case where I've written an application and I'm not doing my threading properly, which is sort of a common trait amongst UI applications, then actually it could just be a hang because I've kind of locked the UI thread while I'm trying to go do work somewhere else,
right.
And then I'm trying to pump that back to the UI thread to display it to the user,
right.
But I haven't done my asynchronous work correctly.
Right.
It's not really a hang as much as it is probably just bad code.
A bug. Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some of them that are bugs.
Sure.
But there are others that are sort of design probability issues. You might want to open a file on the UI thread. Well, normally opening a file is a pretty fast operation, easily done in, 100 milliseconds or something. But sometimes you might open that file and an antivirus product might decide, oh, well, before I let them open that file, I'm going to go scan that file. Then the antivirus product might decide, every 10,000th operation, it's time for me to go check for new antivirus signatures. So now I'm going to go make a network call. So the app designer thought they were just opening a local file, but what's really happening is, oh, we're in the middle of an antivirus scan, which is going to be preceded by an update of some antivirus signatures. Now you've got a whole lot of stuff happening on the UI thread that you weren't really thinking was going to happen on the UI. And the user is now waiting for all that stuff to complete before their operation can be acknowledged by Windows.
Absolutely. So, solution window, Sanofsky and company. Give us more than one thread, man.
Well,
let's get rid of the single apartment thread concept.
The real thing that I think we need to have some. It starts with Microsoft having some better documentation. We do not, particularly on MSDN, document our APIs in terms of which ones can block and which ones won't block. And that means that an app designer can't necessarily easily find out from our API documentation which ones are always safe to call on a UI thread and which ones really might have blocking behavior on them. So I think this is part Microsoft to improve some documentation, and then I think it's to provide some tools. There's no reason we couldn't have a tool such that for the APIs that we knew could block, we could have code, either static code or runtime checking, that said, hey, you're on the UI thread. You're not supposed to be calling this. Not that we would use that when a customer was running, but for use during development.
Absolutely.
As a diagnostic tool. to help developers figure out that they were doing something that could lead to a hang.
Now, architecturally, though, and you've been in Windows for a while, you know, for the ignorance like myself, why? Why is that the architecture in Windows? Do you know the answer to that?
No, okay, I don't.
I'm afraid we can't talk about that.
That's pretty far out of my area of expertise.
Fair enough. They're just curious because it certainly seems to be an interesting. I'll ask Rusinovich or one of those core archetypes next time.
Right.
This is great. So you've gotten a lot of data for Vista.
Yes.
It looks as though from the telemetry that you are getting, just recapping here, 48% improvement, meaning 48% less hangs?
OS crashes are down 48%, and that's, app crashes are down 40%.
That's awesome. So why aren't we publicizing those numbers?
We just did.
Right on. Because that's something I think is important, because I keep hearing these weird sort of, this is not as stable as XP, or, well, here's some numbers for you. Excellent. Well, it was great to meet you. I'm sure you got more telemetry. Do you really want to look at mini dumps right now? Or would you rather talk to the camera? Come on. That's cool. So are you working on any interesting stuff right now, today?
I'm working on reports to the OEMs. It turns out that we now publish monthly telemetry information for the OEMs by OEM model. So the OEMs can get reports from us that says, this model, here's how often this model crashes. Here's how often one of your other models crash. And the data that we provide them is very helpful for them figuring out how to best target their remedial work so that they're chasing the problems that are the most important ones to their customers.
Excellent. Because we're all in this business together.
Absolutely.
We often forget that because we don't make the hardware.
Well,
these are our partners.
We're completely dependent on our partners.
Yeah.
We're completely dependent on our partners for our customers to be successful. It's just that simple.
Right on. Well, hey, thank you, Vince. Great meeting you finally.
Yep. All right.
Great work.
Take care.
You too.